Again, we want to welcome you to Grace Bible Church's new home for meeting on Sundays and during the week. And we can come in whenever we want, and we can leave whenever we want. And we're so grateful for God's provision for us. Normally at this point, we have elder prayer, and what I want to do instead this morning is extend that just a little bit. And I want to warn you that there's not a clock in this room, and I'm not really sure we're going to be worried about time today a little bit. So if you need to leave, you know, and you've got obligations that go beyond like 2 o'clock, you can leave then. That's fine, and we won't think the less of you, but we are going to make sure that we just enjoy what we have before us today from God. I want you to take, if you have a Bible, open to Ephesians 2. For a moment. And I want us to inform our time of prayer together. That'll happen here in just a moment. I want scripture to inform our thinking so that we are thinking rightly, and I need that. I've got my own thoughts about how things should go, and it's always much more helpful and better for you all if I open my Bible and you open your Bible and we look at what God says. So Ephesians 2, starting at verse 13. Same theme of what Omri just shared from Revelation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, as he's talking to the Gentiles who have become believers in Jesus Christ, the non-Jews who have become believers, he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two, the Jew who believes in Messiah Jesus and the Gentiles who believe in Messiah Jesus, that he might make those two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and so that he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of God's household. You are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." I want you to think about what God says about us who believe in Jesus. We are God's household. We are. We are his building. We are. We are a holy temple in the Lord. We are. And we are a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We are. That is how blood-bought believers in Jesus are described. Paul is not describing a building, a structure, right? And so that means that Gilliland Middle School, a long time ago, was never the church. And it means that Tempe High School was never the church. And it means that Gethsemane Lutheran's Family Center was never the church, and it means that in the last 5 years, Valley Christian High School was never the church. And it means even today that 7440 South Priest is not the church, or the dwelling of God, or a holy temple. We are God's household. We are God's building, and we are the holy temple in the Lord, and we are the dwelling of God in the Spirit because Jesus shed his blood for us. You see, to be the church, you don't need a building. You don't need a physical structure, but what we do need is Jesus' death on our behalf, and we have that, and so we're a church, and we have been, and Lord willing, we'll continue to be. And then it just so happens that a building comes in handy, doesn't it? Right? A house, a living room can be handy. A lean-to in a jungle in Papua New Guinea can come in handy. A school cafeteria is helpful, and a high school auditorium is helpful, and a gym is helpful as we put our lives together for worship and for prayer together. So what would be pleasing to God today for us as we think about our first Sunday here? I think it would be these kinds of things, that number one, we would see ourselves rightly in light of Scripture and the shed blood of Jesus. We're the church. And that we would not assign to a building what God describes of us. And that we would give this building its proper place in our church family life. That we should not give it a higher place in our life together, and we shouldn't give it a lower place in our life together. And we should today and every day express thankfulness to God, because this is His provision for us. And that's all we've ever known. Gilliland Middle School cafeteria was God's provision for us. Tempe High School auditorium was God's provision for us. Gethsemane Lutheran Church was God's provision for us. Valley Christian High School was God's provision for us. This building is God's provision for us. And if something happens and we're not here at some point, there will be another provision from God for us. So, today and in the days to come, enjoy this building, but don't enjoy it without thoughts of God and thankfulness to Him. And I want us to think about God's provision for us also, not just through a structure, but through people. When you think of these people, I'm gonna mention some people that they don't want me to mention them. But when you think of these people, I know this. They want you to think about God. And they want you to give thanks to God. They want you to praise God. They don't want applause. They want you to say, praise God. So you won't be chastised if you clap, but you might be the only one clapping. Because it'd be appropriate, as you think about what somebody did or helped with or whatever, it'd be appropriate to say, praise God. That's God's provision to us through that person. So I'm going to kind of start in order, and I'm going to kind of tell a little story, if I can, through people, if that's all right. And I want to start with Mike Caruso. Where are you? Mike, stand up. That's Mike Caruso. Mike, you were so diligent for so many years. Mike is the one who is our realtor who helped us. He's been a part of this body from the beginning, and you were so diligent. You persevered through all kinds of different seasons. You knew when to push your elders, and you knew when not to, and you were so easy to work with, and you were selfless, and you helped us to find this building, and we praise God for you, so thank you. And then I want to introduce you to two men that you don't know, but you need to know. I want to introduce you to Ken Berg and Steve Wagner. Would you guys stand up for just a moment, just so we can see you? These two gentlemen, this is a great story. These two gentlemen are the former owners of this building. And Mike put us in contact with them. And these men had a company in this structure, manufacturing on this side, some call center on that side, and offices. And they made decisions 10 years ago plus on this building that they made with thinking of their business, but they weren't only just thinking of their business. They made decisions 10 years ago on this building that have overcome every single obstacle that we have ever come up against in looking for a building anywhere in the valley. Is that right? Every obstacle that we hit, because a strip like this doesn't have a category for a church going into it, and so they have regulations and codes and things. These guys made decisions 10 years ago that made it possible for a church to be in this building, in this strip center. So God was kind to us. How they built out this building for their purposes in their business, God was extremely kind to us. I remember when we drew the drawings of what we thought we might do with a 30,000 square foot shell, we estimated years ago that the build out would be about $2.1 million. And with what these men did 10 years ago plus, and since then, we were able to move into this building with less than $500,000. That's God's kindness to us. These two gentlemen also were extremely patient with us during the purchase process as we were trying to figure out if we had our ducks in a row or not. And so thank you for your patience, men, and thank you for your generosity. And most of all, what you need to know about these two men is they love Jesus. And we had great fellowship in the process of walking through that with you. And they even, in their time in this building, hoped that one day maybe it might be used for something like this, right? So thank you, men. You're God's gift to us. Jeff Kershaw, stand up for just a minute. Your design and your humility in all this. Everywhere you look, you see Jeff's thoughts and handiwork. You love this body. You drew this before this building was even on our minds. And Jeff is our architect who has helped. And your love for this body is expressed through your selfless service and has been. So we praise God for you. And then I want to introduce you to another man that you must know. Glenn, you need to stand for just a moment. This is Glenn Overgaard. So you put a realtor with sellers, with an architect together, and you come up with an idea, and then you need a guy who's actually going to carry it out, and that's Glenn. And Glenn, you were the perfect addition to God's process in this whole thing of getting this building ready for this church family today. And I can tell you that I feel like in the last 3 months, I actually have a friend that I've met. It's been a joy to work with you. He is a humble man. He is a joyful man. I've never seen him angry once. You're selfless. You serve. And I hope we get to continue a relationship long past today. So you have a servant's heart, and you've only been a delight to work with. And he is very skilled in what he does, and he's trustworthy with what he does. And his yes means yes, and his no means no. And he is a gift from God to us. So thank you, Glenn. And then I'm going to mention some other names. John Duby, I know you don't want me to mention you. Where are you? You were over somewhere. John, God brought you to this church family in an amazing way long before this, and this family has been blessed by your love for our Savior and your passion for his word and your love for God's people, and you're a really good painter. And you get up high, and John sprayed every square inch of the ceiling and in the narthex out here. And we're going to give you a vocabulary of terms so that you know what a narthex is. But John, thank you. You are a godsend, and your countless hours outside of working for the church were put into this building, and we're grateful to God for you. And then I need to mention Alex McMillan and family, wherever you are. Can you just stand or wave, or some of you guys who helped back over there? The other painters. You blessed this church. You're very generous with your time and your skills. Thank you, men, for doing what you did. So thankful to God for you. Those are all expressions of love I know for your Savior and for this body. Dave Mueller, I saw you somewhere. There you are. Dave, just stand, wave. Let us see you. You can see everyone up front because of Dave. He added 16 inches of his skill right here on the platform and did it Friday night and Saturday. Thank you. You have been a part of this from the beginning, and you're a selfless man as well. I hope you'll keep hearing that, selflessness, a servant's heart. Ken Evans, where are you? Just wave. I love this pulpit. Ken made this, thinking of this room in mind. He did this, and it's great. You can land an aircraft carrier on it. and the laser pen goes right here. So, thank you, my friend. It's great. Love you. And Tommy, will you stand up in the back? Lights and sound and all of that. You did a lot of that at your own time and expense, and we're so thankful for you and Julie and just being here a part of the body. Thank you for your labor of love for us. George Siegel. Where are you? Where is he? Oh, is he holding babies? He never stops it. You get to sit in the formation you do because he lost sleep over finding the right way to put the chairs, and it was great. And then I can't go on to mention everyone, but I don't know, over the last 4 days, I don't have no idea how many people were in this building, how many of you were in this building. But this I do know, that many of you are sore today because of what you did in this building over the last 4 days, from mopping and vacuuming and touch-up painting and cleaning windows and then mopping again and then cleaning the windows again and then mopping again and setting up the classrooms. You all just, it was so great to come in and at 9 o'clock, and then when I left at 8 or 9 every night, there were people here all day. You were, and you did this because you love each other and you're so thankful to God for what he has done. And then just to all of you in the body, the elders just want to thank you for your joyful and sacrificial giving to the Lord that we could even be here over many, many years. It's humbling that you would give so hard like you do. And we're grateful to God for you. So let's pray and let's thank God for making us into the church and for giving us a building. You pray with me? Father in heaven, we are so grateful to know that our sins are wiped away from your sight because of the shed blood of your son, Jesus. We sit amazed in awe and in wonder that we get to be your children because of your son's willingness to go to a cross and hang as an innocent substitute in humiliation, not for the sins that he committed, but for our sins. We thank you for the gift of faith and justification, a declared righteousness that stands above us, that makes us positionally acceptable to you. We thank you for your Son dwelling within us. We thank you that by your Spirit you are indwelling us. Your Word richly dwells within us. Lord, what more could we ask for than that? We are supplied by you and equipped by you to face anything this world might throw at a believer in Jesus. Thank you for furnishing us so well with yourself and with your Word. And you have reconciled us together to one another as you also reconciled us to you, that we would be so different and come from different places and yet stand together side by side, arm in arm, hand in hand, because of the gospel is a blessing from you, and we give thanks to you. And we worship you for your love for sinners. Lord, it is our desire that you would help us to take the gospel beyond this family here into the lives of the ones that you position us into and next to all week long throughout the year, and that we would boldly proclaim Jesus Christ crucified for forgiveness of sins, raised from the dead, ascended to your right hand, coming to reign. Pray that we would be bold and that we'd be loving and we would speak the truth of your son Jesus to all who will listen. May your kingdom expand even through this small church family. And Lord, we also give thanks to you for your abundant provision for 14 years in the life of this church. Thank you for every place we've ever been. Thank you for this place today that we can begin a new season of life in and ministry in. Lord, we commit ourselves to you afresh that we might be faithful to you. Faithful to your word, so that we might be pleasing to you and we might be salt and light in a very dark world. Lord, we commit ourselves to you and we pray that you would even bless the rest of our fellowship together today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.